Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
It's the last Laydown episode of 2019!
And there's a blizzard happening
And there's currently a blizzard!
We've got a lot of books to talk about, so let's just jump right into it and talk about what we're currently reading. I'll start because I just finished a book that I really enjoyed. It's called 13 Doorways, Wolves Behind Them All. Mouthful of a title. It's by Laura Ruby, and it's narrated by a ghost, and she hangs out at this orphanage, and she can sort of, like, go wherever she wants. She's not tied to, like, the place where she died or anything like that. And she likes to float around the orphanage and, like, check in on the girls. She likes to follow the girls around and see how they're doing. She likes to check in on the babies and say, like, hello, babies. And it's really cute. The one girl that she's really kind of tied to is our other main character, who is a girl who her father dropped her sister, and her brother off at this orphanage. Her mother passed away, and he is a shoemaker, and so whenever he visits, he brings her new fancy shoes. He brings them, like, a delicious sandwich. All the other kids at the orphanage are really, really jealous. Mm-hmm. But he marries this other woman who also has kids at the orphanage, and he and this woman and her kids go and move somewhere totally different and leave her and her siblings at the orphanage.
Ooh, what?
It's infuriating. So anyway, so you have a couple of stories. You have the story of this living girl in the orphanage and sort of, like, her story and what she's going through. And then you also have the story of this ghost, and she starts to learn more things about herself that she didn't realize. And as she goes on, you learn things about her life and her death that she has forgotten and is starting to remember. And it is so well written, and it's so well done.
Who's the author?
It's Laura Ruby, and I didn't make the connection until after I had finished it that this is the author of Bone Gap, which I loved. I loved that book, and that is a book that, and I think I may have talked about it on the podcast, but it's about a kid in this really small town where, like, no one ever stays in this town. It's sort of like you're raised there and then you leave and then people don't question it. And this girl leaves, goes missing, but no one's looking for her because they're like, she just left. Like, everybody leaves. And this kid is like, no, something happened to her, and I saw it. She was taken or hurt or something. Forgive me, it's been like 5 years since I read it. And they're like, okay, well, describe the person. Like, you saw it happen. He's like, yeah, I saw it happen. Okay, describe the person who did this. He's like, I can't. Mm-hmm. And you find out that the kid has facial blindness, but has no idea. And he falls for this other girl in this town because he can see her face, and he's like, oh, you're so beautiful. And she's like, will you stop saying that? She thinks he's teasing her because she's horribly disfigured. He thinks she's beautiful because he can recognize her face because she's disfigured. Much like with 13 Doorways, Wolves Behind Them All, Laura Ruby takes these things that they're realistic, and then she weaves in this, like, magical realism, and she weaves these really cool stories that, oh, I really enjoy. So, yeah, I just finished that, and I really liked it a lot.
Nice.
And then I just started The Binding by Bridget Collins.
Which I love.
Yes. You and Elizabeth both have recommended that to me. And actually Heather, too, I think. So
another
that
book about memory and not remembering.
Yes.
And having to figure out what everybody else seems, like, to know about
piecing
you.
Piecing it together. Yeah. It reminds me of the one Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
we it reminds about me of that. Yet. Yeah. That's what I'm reading. Cool. What about you guys?
I am reading The Price of Salt, or also known as Carol. Patricia Highsmith also wrote Talented Mr. Ripley. It is the cornerstone of classic lesbian literature. I had never read it. I picked it up recently, and I zoomed through this book in, like, a night. This is my fourth time reading this book. I'm picking up so many things that I keep missing because I am so enraptured by the story, and it's breaking my heart that these two are so in love with each other, but they can't be together. It's about two women, Carol, who is a higher end, kind of very classy woman who is in the midst of a divorce with her husband. And she goes in one day to buy a Christmas gift at a department store for her daughter. She is met by Therese, who is this 19-year-old, very young woman who, like, doesn't really like her boyfriend. She's really not into him, and she doesn't have the understanding as to why. And then Therese meets Carol and delivers her the present to her door, and Therese becomes obsessed and falls deeply in love with this older woman named Carol. And in the middle of the book, they go off on a trip together, and they just start falling in love. And I don't want to ruin the ending of the book, but it really, the original title, The Price of Salt, really ties into the end of this book. It is the most heartbreaking thing I've ever read. The second book I'm reading is not coming out until March 31st of next year. It's called Wow, No Thank You, Essays by Samantha Irby. Samantha Irby wrote her first book of essays called We Are Never Meeting in Real Life.
Oh, yeah.
New York Times bestseller, came out in paperback. It's in our humor section, but she is just so funny. It's like if Toni Morrison and Jenny Lawson, like, had a child together, mm-hmm. and mix it with some, like, Roxanne Gay or Lindy West. Like, these are just whip-smart, funny, queer essays about, like, how she loves her cell phone and, like, doesn't want to be without it. She talks about her late 90s mixtapes, and she has a list of all of the songs and why she would put them on there in one of these essays. She talks about hosting book clubs and making mason jar salads, even though she grew up at, like, impoverished in Chicago. Like, she's a riot. She's
so
a
relatable.
Riot. And she, you know, I picked this up because, man, she totally stole the title of my memoirs.
Yeah, right. Wow. No thank you.
No thank you. But she totally classes this up, and I'm so glad that I found this new author, Samantha Irby, Wow, No Thank You, out in March of 2020. Please pick it up. If you can, you should also pick up her first book of essays, which is super funny, too. Yes, that's what I'm currently reading.
That's awesome. Hillary, what are you reading right now?
What I'm reading right now is called Antisocial, Online Extremists, Techno-Utopians, and the Hijacking of the American Conversation by Andrew Marantz. Mm-hmm. Andrew Marantz is a New Yorker staff writer, and this is all about how we've had our society hijacked by technology and social media, and it's also a lot about how people get sucked into becoming radicalized online and how people do it. Super readable, really well written. I highly recommend it. I think it would make a great Christmas gift for anybody who sort of loves, like, society and culture kind of books. Very, very well written. And the other book I am reading right now, of course, is Crime in Progress by Glenn Simpson and Peter Fritsch. The subtitle is Inside the Steele Dossier and the Fusion GPS Investigation of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. This is written by the people who did the work that led to the Steele Dossier, which was only a tiny portion of all the research they did. They were both reporters for the Wall Street Journal, I believe it was. And then after many years and Pulitzer Prizes and stuff, they left to start their own business doing research for companies and politicians and whatever. And they were originally hired by a Republican who was sort of a never-Trumper to figure out what was up with Trump. And then ultimately when Trump got the nomination, they were hired by Hillary Clinton's, the attorney to the Democratic National Committee. Hillary Clinton did not know that this was being done.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. Which is kind of, is just an important part of this book.
Yeah,
it is a really excellent inside story of how government works, how sleazy politicians are, how opposition research works, and I think they come out looking pretty good, even though they, you know, they wrote it themselves. But they have been roundly attacked for having done this work. And what it turns out is that much of what the news media eventually began reporting on and the stuff that wound up in the Mueller report began with these guys doing massive, massive research. So those are what I'm reading right now.
Awesome. Let's talk about the holidays. So we all have big stacks in front of us right now.
Because 'tis the season for giving tomes.
Oh, I love it. So my stack, I actually have a few books that I set aside that I'm going to give to myself this year. Because my family knows not to buy me books. Mm-hmm. So I buy them for myself, and I say that they're from my daughter or
dog.
Exactly. So the first couple that I want to talk about, it just seems appropriate to bookend. I got to talk about An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green, which was my favorite book of last year, which I talked about in our very first episode way back in January.
Talk about your social media book.
Oh, no! And the reason I'm talking about this again, it is now in paperback, and Hank Green just announced the sequel.
What? I know!
It is going to be called A Beautifully Foolish Endeavor, and it comes out July of 2020. I'm excited. It's going to be a duology, so once that comes out, it's done. It is a story of the perils of viral fame and an alien invasion. And it is incredible. I love it so much. Another book that I picked up, I was shelving one day and I saw this book that I had never seen on the shelf before. I'd never noticed it. It's called In Other Lands by Sarah Rhys Brennan. And I just have to read you the back because it just delights me. The borderlands aren't like anywhere else. Don't try to smuggle a phone or any other piece of technology over the wall that marks the border, unless you enjoy a fireworks display in your backpack. Ballpoint pens are okay. There are elves, harpies, and best of all, as far as Elliot is concerned, mermaids. Elliot? Who's Elliot? Elliot is 13 years old. He's smart and just a tiny bit obnoxious. Well, sometimes more than a tiny bit. When his class goes on a field trip and he can see a wall that no one else can see, he is given the chance to go to school in the borderlands. On the other side of the wall, classes involve a lot more weaponry and fitness training than he expected. On the other hand, there's Serene Heart in the Chaos of Battle, an elven warrior who is more beautiful than anyone Elliot has ever seen. And there's her human friend, Luke, sunny, blonde, annoyingly likable. There are lots of interesting books, and Elliot might even be able to change the world. In Other Lands is an exhilarating novel about surviving 4 years in the most unusual of schools, about friendship, falling in love, diplomacy, and finding your own place in the world, even if it means giving up your phone.
Aww.
I thought that sounded adorable. I can't wait to read it. I'm buying it for myself. For the crazy people like me who are utterly obsessed with horror movies and deeply, deeply in love with the new It movies, there is a beautiful book called The World of It by Elise Wax.
I'm getting nightmares just looking at the cover of that book.
It's
so scary.
It is
Pennywise.
A coffee table book about the making of It, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. It is full of gorgeous photographs, of stories from behind the scenes. It's got pictures from behind the scenes. It's got postcards from the town of Derry. It's got just so much information and concept art and interviews. I'm also buying this for myself. And I'm saying that it's from Pennywise and no one can stop me. So if you have a movie lover and a horror movie lover, get that book for them. It is incredible. Another big gift that I know at least one member of my family is getting for Christmas this year is the fourth installment of the illustrated Harry Potters. So Goblet of Fire is out, came out in October. Like the first three, it is so beautifully illustrated. Goblet of Fire is my favorite of the books.
So yes, this is going to be a big gift this year, I think, because everyone is adding to their collections and...
Yeah, it's fascinating to watch the people who grew up with Harry Potter who are now your age and earning a living, and they treat themselves to the new illustrated version every year.
Yeah.
The same cohort of people comes in and buys the new one.
And I really love the illustrated editions because not only are they just a beautiful collection to have, but I actually think that it's really helpful for the younger folks who are discovering Harry Potter. I think the illustrations help a lot with the context, help a lot with the story, because if you think about when we were younger and we were reading them as they were coming out, we were growing up with Harry.
Yeah.
So as each book came out, we were a little bit older, we were a little bit more mature, we were able to handle how really dark they get, at least to some extent. Whereas now, they're all out. So when kids start reading them at 11, they're reading all seven when they're 11 years old.
Yeah.
And they get dark. There's a lot of really big themes in Harry Potter that are really hard to digest when you're 11.
Yeah.
And so I think the illustrated editions are really nice because, A, they're coming out a year apart, so you could, in theory, wait and just do the illustrated with your kids. Or you can, if you are going to sit down and read them all at once, there's the illustrations to kind of help them understand what's going on. I think, like a graphic novel, having those illustrations really helps you understand the full the full picture, if you will. So I am a big fan of the illustrated. I love them so much. And then I do want to talk about this book. Kelso's doing a happy dance. Once in Future by Amy Rose Capetta and Corey McCarthy, which is gender bent queer King Arthur in space. And it is the King Arthur story you didn't know you needed. There isn't a single straight character in this whole book. It's such a romp. It's a beautiful adventure. The characters are phenomenal. And the reason I'm talking about this is, again, there is a sequel coming out. It's called The Sword in the Stars. And on April 9th at 6 p.m., Corey McCarthy and Amy Rose Capetta will be here.
I'm so excited.
When is that?
April 9th at 6 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
They're going to be here. I'm going to try to get them on the podcast. I am so, so, so excited. I haven't read the sequel yet. I have an advanced reader copy of it, and I just keep looking at it, and I'm like, okay, I have other things I really should read first, but oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, so thrilled about that, and this would make such a great gift for, like, the teenager in your life who loves fantasy. They love adventure. This is an incredible book. My husband read it and loved it, and it is so much fun, but it's also really insightful, and, like, there's a really beautiful moment where Merlin, who is aging backwards, and this is his last chance to find King Arthur and train King Arthur and have King Arthur win, and King Arthur is a girl this time around. Merlin meets a character and assumes the gender of this character and is immediately called out because this character uses they, them pronouns. And Merlin says something to the effect of, oh, wow, I come from a really terrible place where everything is binary and I'm so sorry. And then Merlin never makes that mistake ever again throughout the book. So it's this really beautiful, like, here's how to handle these situations when you are meeting someone who has preferred pronouns, here's how to have that conversation in a respectful way. It is written by two queer people. They're in a relationship, and it is woke, but not in a way that, like, punches you in the face. It's just a very natural in this society. There is no binary. Like, people just are what they are. They love who they love. And it is beautiful, and I love it so much. So that is Once in Future by Amy Rose Capetta and Corey McCarthy.
Can I just jump in while you're there?
Oh,
because
this
obviously that is a takeoff of the Once in Future King.
Yes.
Which is T.H. White's book. of the Arthur legend, which the movie The Sword and the Stone was based upon, the Disney movie. But that is a wonderful book. Mm-hmm. I think it might be great to read it as a pairing.
That would be really interesting to do both.
And the other one I would recommend about the Arthur mythology is The Mists of Avalon by Marion Zimmer Bradley, which is sort of a feminist version, just beautifully written as well.
Yes.
And also suitable for sort of YA, but also adult, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love a King Arthur story.
Okay, and, you know, there will come a podcast episode when I don't talk about this book, but this is not that episode. I promise not to talk too long about it because I've talked about it the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 10, who knows?
Every episode, I'm
you
pretty sure.
You know that everyone in my family is getting The Starless Sea by Aaron Morgenstern for Christmas. We have signed first editions currently in the store, and Aaron will be here in January. So just buy it. Just buy it. Everyone's going
to
love it.
Just give in to Ryan.
Just
give in.
Trust me, okay? Just trust me and buy this book. Okay, I'm going to stop there for my gift recommendations. What about you guys?
So for my gift recommendations, I was really thinking about things that I would really like to get for myself for Christmas. And so I'm like, what are books that people could get me that I wouldn't normally just go out and buy for myself? My parents got me the Beastie Boys book because I really like music. And one of my favorite bands is the Beastie Boys. And they're little adorable little boys
little
on the cover.
They're little baby
Look boys.
How cute they were.
And it is a retrospective of their entire career from when they all met each other up until when one of the members had unfortunately passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. And they had decided to break off the band. It is orally told, and they have fabulous pictures in them and interviews and articles about how they became one of the greatest rock rap duos.
Do they have
the
pictures
80s.
Of them with Dusty Springfield
yes,
in there?
Yes, they do.
Dusty was one of their first big promoters.
Oh, cool.
So I loved getting that book for Christmas. It was great. So one of the things I really like to get that I don't normally get myself are books about musicians. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted, that leads up to the book that I'm going to be talking about right now. I love Prince. I grew up on Prince. My favorite color is purple. I loved him so much. I was devastated when he died suddenly a couple years ago. So this book just came out, and he, before he died, was starting to write an autobiography or a memoir about his life growing up. One of the people he was working with on this book decided to release the unfinished autobiography, and also
he's the archivist, isn't he?
Yes.
For the Prince Estate.
Yes, he is.
And they're also they are releasing a new album with 38 tracks that have never been released before.
What?
I'm so excited. Merry Christmas to me.
Kelso, are you going to leave this planet?
Yes,
like, what?
I'm floating
She's
in my chair.
She's going to party like it's 1999.
That's right. That's right, yeah. So this book, it not only has what he has written so far for his unfinished biography, but it's also all of his never-before-seen photos, stuff in his journals, how he talks about music, how music is a big part of his life. Yeah, the first half of this book is all stuff he wrote, but, like, there's stuff when he was a kid.
Aww.
I love this book is just fabulous. So this book is really good for anybody who is into Prince, obviously, but anybody who really likes music biographies. It's just, and it's a well-done book. Most
it's
of it's
a
glossy.
Heavy book.
It's a heavy
it's
book,
heavy.
Yeah.
Really
it's
good
yes.
paper.
I love Prince. Okay, that's enough of me talking about Prince. The other thing I really like is movies. And this book came out in October. It's called Movies and Other Things, a collection of questions asked, answered, illustrated by Shea Serrano, illustrated by Arturo Torres, and a foreword by John Leguizamo, who is an
nice.
Actor. Shea Serrano used to be a middle school science teacher who decided to stop what he was doing and work for The Ringer. And one of my favorite articles he wrote for The Ringer was Is Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds the same person? And he makes a compelling argument about them. His first book that he wrote was about basketball and other things, because yes, he's a big fan of basketball. And he talks about these questions that he has about basketball. I don't know basketball. I don't understand basketball. Apparently, it was really great because it was a New York Times bestseller list for a while.
I gave it to my brother-in-law who loves basketball, yes, and he loved it.
So there yeah, you go. So he wrote about movies this time.
I want and this book.
It's so, the illustrations, first and foremost, are fabulous.
Yeah.
Here's a little taste of some of the questions that are put forth by Shea Serrano. Were the Jurassic Park Raptors just misunderstood? Did Denzel's race-forward football camp work or not? Which was better, Get Out or The Social Network?
Get out! Oh, I do have a story about The Social Network, though, because that movie is the reason that I am married. The year that The Social Network came out, it was nominated for Best Picture, up against The King's Speech and others. But my now husband and I had an Oscar bet going, and all of our picks were exactly the same except for Best Picture. And he picked The Social Network to win Best Picture. I picked The King's Speech to win Best Picture. I won. And I said that the loser had to take the winner to go see the winning movie. That was our first date. 3 years later, he proposed in the theater where we saw The King's Speech. Yes.
Red River and Theater, the rest is, shout out.
Shout out to Red River. With a ring that he got at Romance Jewelers, mm-hmm, so like, shout shop out local.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so thanks, Social Network, for not winning Best Picture.
Oh, I liked that movie.
I can think of at least three people that I want to get this
right
book for.
It's just so funny, and Shea Serrano is such a great writer.
It's a Christmas morning book.
It is.
It's
yes,
it's really fun. You're going to sit there saying, listen.
Yes, that's going to be the gift that the person who gets that is going to be asking these questions, mm-hmm, all throughout the day.
Yep. Yeah. And you're going to argue with this book, because I argued in a couple of spots, so I think I'm going to buy this book for myself. But, you know, if anybody, if any of my family or friends are out there listening, get this book for me, because it's dope.
Yes.
So that's what I have for my picks.
Well, I am just going to quickly run down some cookbooks. I used to be a chef for many years, and I started... I'm a big believer that what you do when you're little is actually what you're intended to do. Mm-hmm. So when I was little, I read books, I cooked, and I gardened. And I do, those are my passions.
That's
still
what you do, yeah.
The book that I started with when I was 10 years old, and the parents weren't home because I was kind of a latchkey kid, and maybe my grandma was there and maybe not. I took down The Joy of Cooking, and I started cooking out of The Joy of Cooking.
Oh, that's so
cute.
Now,
The Joy of Cooking, a lot of people go, that book, you know, the recipes are kind of old-fashioned and not that interesting. The first version, I must have come out in, 1931 was the first version of this book. It has come out again and again, been revised and updated, and there's a brand new updated version of it.
Nice.
It doesn't have pictures in it. But it has a few little tiny line illustrations, but it has everything. Anything you want to know how to do, you can do it, including things like sushi, which I'm sure were not in the 1931 version.
Probably not.
So if you're trying to get a cookbook for someone who maybe is going to have one cookbook, I think this is a really great, this new version of Joy of Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It has 600 new recipes and more than 4,000 favorites. It is close to 1,200 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a couple other ones. Mark Bittman, also everybody might know his books. He has written all these books. They're How to Cook, How to Cook Everything is the one I'm going to recommend. It's the completely revised 20th anniversary edition. This one has some photographs in it, but not tons and tons of them, but it just has everything.
Mm-hmm.
How to poach fish, how to fry fish, how to cook grains, how to whatever. Mm-hmm. And he also has done vegetarian versions.
Yeah.
So if you have a vegetarian on your list, another great basic cookbook. Also, there is a new slip covered Yotam Ottolenghi collection If you don't know Otto Lange, you should. Mm-hmm. Otto Lange wound up in England and opened restaurants, and they're very heavily plant-based and vegetarian. Yeah. He's not a vegetarian, but his cookbooks are almost vegetarian, some of them. And this one is Essential Otto Lange. Otto Lange Simple and Plenty More. Otto Lange Simple is going to have more meat kind of dishes in it. Plenty More is going to be pretty much vegetarian.
Yep.
But this is a really nice slipcover version of those two books. And the recipes are beautiful and delicious and vibrant and highly recommended. Then one of my favorite cookbooks, if you are buying a book for someone who likes good writing as well as interesting, sort of more difficult recipes, this book is Prune by Gabriel Hamilton. Gabriel Hamilton wrote a very highly regarded memoir called Blood, Bones, and Butter.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a restaurant in New York City called Prune that's been around for many years now. And you may know her from the New York Times Magazine. She has recipes in it all the time. This book is full of very interesting writing and very interesting recipes. And it's sort of a concept book. It's made to look like the cookbook that is in the kitchen with little handwritten notes in it and stains on the pages and fascinating recipes based on seasonal eating. And she's a beautiful writer as well. And then this is one we were talking about earlier, that this is based on a YouTube channel, You Suck at Cooking. And we've been selling a lot of this, so I think it's really worth talking about. These are simple recipes for people who suck at cooking.
Like
right?
Me.
It teaches you how to just do really basic things like cauliflower soup and how to roast asparagus and jalapeno chicken breast and simple things, but the cover is hilarious. It's a piece of toast with the eyes and frowny mouth bitten out of it. So for the YouTuber in your life that might that likes this kind of thing, who wants to learn how to cook, for a younger person probably.
Get that for like your freshman in college, your high school graduate. Who's leaving home for the first time, or your kiddo who's getting their first apartment, get them that book because it is interesting recipes, but they're simple.
Right.
So it'll make that person seem really fancy and really good at cooking. Mm-hmm. But it's super broken easy. Down in a very easy way. And it's funny.
And then the last thing, this is not a cookbook, but this is one of my favorite books to give as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I have given away my copy of it multiple times and then keep buying it for myself. This book is a classic. It's called A Pattern Language, Towns, Buildings, Construction by Christopher Alexander, Sarah Ishikawa, Murray Silverstein, and there's a few more people listed. This book, if you live in New Hampshire, you're going to know people who are on their local planning boards and zoning boards or who are selectmen.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of those people should own this book. And also, if you are interested in design at all or architecture, if you have some kid who's going to be an architect, they should have this book. It is about how space works and how human beings interact with space. And so it begins with big things like towns, and then it moves to things like beer halls, arcades, small work groups. Then it goes to the house and like how your house should be designed. Like it should have alcoves. There should be window seats. How to lay out a kitchen. Here's one. Children love to be in tiny cave-like places. How to create a little cave-like place for your children.
Cute.
It's just an amazing, fascinating book. So if you're interested in how you live in the world or your house is uncomfortable and you want to know how to make it comfortable, or your town is trying to redo its planning and zoning maps, highly, highly recommended. This book has been out for, let me see, since 1977.
Okay.
And has never gone out of print.
Wow.
And it's still in hardcover.
Wow.
That's
impressive.
Yeah.
really. That's interesting. I feel like that would be an interesting companion book if you also gave someone At Home by Bill Bryson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like those two would be an interesting read together.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. Nice. So I want to talk through the NEBA catalog a little bit. For our listeners who don't know, the New England Independent Booksellers Association sends out a catalog to all of the indie bookstores every holiday season with their holiday picks. We all kind of like chose a few from the catalog that we think are really fun for the holidays this year. So I'm going to talk about a few of them. For the person in your life who is so sad that there's no new Game of Thrones book yet, which I had a very, very dear gentleman come in today and so ask, funny. Do you have Winds of Winter in paperback? And I said, oh, that's not out yet. And he looked so crestfallen. And he said, I just finished Dance with Dragons. And I said, welcome to the club. You are now on the same page as the rest of the world, wondering when will we get Winds of Winter? When, George R. R. Martin? For that person in your life, get them Fire, Ice, and Physics, the science of Game of Thrones. I love books like this. It takes things from the books and applies real world science and physics to them.
Oh, cool.
So, from the biophysics of dragonfire to the engineering of ice walls, this book gives all the material you need to elevate those Game of Thrones conversations to even higher levels. That quote is by Clifford Johnson, professor of physics at the University of Southern California. This is going to be a really fun gift for that really smart, really nerdy Game of Thrones fan in your family. Another fun book that will have people talking all through the day when they open this gift. It's called Brilliant Maps for Curious Minds, 100 New Ways to See the World by Ian Wright. It's a smallish book, and it is full. Every page has a different map, and they are all just really interesting. Let's see, there's a map of countries officially not using the metric system. Mm-hmm. I'll give you three guesses who's on there. It has different sections. There's a map that is if the Roman Empire reunited using modern borders. There's...
Oh, I love this book.
Yeah, very... there's a whole friends and enemies section. There's a map that is the most reoccurring word on each country's English Wikipedia page.
What does it say for the U.S.?
Let's see. War. there's how to write the date in different countries. Yeah. So it's year, month, day, or day, month, year, or month, day, year. It's really a really fun, interesting book that, again, like the trivia fans in your family will just keep opening this to different pages and being like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. You'll never guess world gold reserves in grams per person, let me tell you. So that's a really, really fun one. There are a couple of books I want to talk about for kiddos. There is the newest installment of the series that started with The Day the Crayons Quit, which is such a cute book. The crayons go on strike. They write little angry letters to their kiddo, and they're like, I'm so tired of drawing the ocean and the sky, and I just want to draw something else. Love, blue. Like, they're really, really cute, and this one is called The Crayons Christmas. It is a shrink-wrapped book. It includes 6 envelopes filled with cards, games, punch-out ornaments, a poster, a surprise pop-up, and more.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It is
fun.
A gift from the crayons to the kid in your life.
Aww.
It is so, so cute. So the crayons have written this for your child and included all sorts of fun things. I also want to talk about this gifty book. It is The Night Before Christmas, the classic edition by Clement C. Moore, and it comes with a little bell. It's a really cute little gift set. It's a board book. It's a keepsake edition, and it is going to be a really beautiful gift for
a baby in your family, if it's like a baby's first Christmas, this would be a really sweet gift. The bell could be an ornament. It could be a Christmas decoration. And because it's a board book, it's really good for babies. It's chew-proof. It's rip-proof. So, you know, and it is it's a sleigh bell. It's a bigger bell. So no choking hazards there. So I know a small munchkin who will be getting this for Christmas because, shh, Jeannie, stop listening. My sister-in-law is due in like 2 weeks. And then one other one that I just want to pop in, the Angelina Ballerina book. The first one has been re-released.
Oh, nice.
It is back in print. It is the same illustrations. It's the same story. I think they've updated the language a tiny bit. But yes, it is back in print. Angelina is back. That, I don't know about you, I grew up on Angelina Ballerina. Yeah, it's a refreshed picture book, and I am so excited that is back. And then the only other ones, I have to shout out, Gideon the Ninth and Ninth House are both in the NEBA catalog. Those are going to be such great books for the fantasy lovers in your life, teens and adults, both sci-fi. They are a little bit darker, they're a little bit edgier, and they're a ton of fun. So that's where I'm going to end that. I don't know if either of you want to shout out anything from the NEBA catalog.
I did Princess the Beautiful Ones. So that is in the NEBA catalog.
And The Joy of Cooking is in the NEBA catalog. But, you know, I just grabbed this one because I was terrible at math my whole life. And then I homeschooled one of my kids for a year and had to do math with them. Mm-hmm. And I realized, I don't think they taught it very well. Mm. It's not that you're stupid. Mm-hmm. It's that you just need a different way to think about it. And one of the books in the NEBA catalog that is a lot of fun is this book called Change is the Only Constant, The Wisdom of Calculus in a Madcap World by Ben Orlin, who is the author of Math with Bad Drawings. Mm-hmm. Oh, he does these really kind of hilarious drawings to illustrate mathematical ideas. So if there's a person in your life that wishes they were better at math, this is a NEBA catalog book, Change is the Only Constant, that I think is pretty charming and would recommend.
That is so cute. Super quick before we wrap up, we are a bookstore, but we sell more than just books.
Sideline.
So I have been obsessed with this game that we sell. It is called Villainous. It is a Disney game where you play as a Disney villain. Each person playing is a different Disney villain. Each villain has an objective that they are trying to achieve based on their story. And so you are trying to achieve your objective, and the other villains you're playing against, while also trying to achieve theirs, are also playing things to stop you from achieving your objective. And the villains are really fun, and everything is with sort of their movie. So in the base game, you have Captain Hook, Maleficent, Jafar, Ursula, Prince John, and the Queen of Hearts.
I
love her.
I guess you get to claim that one.
She is mine. The game pieces are really cool, too. They're about an inch and a half tall, and they are see-through and minimalist, hard plastic, and they look like little glass figurines. They're really, really cute. And there is an expansion pack, which includes Hades, Dr. Facilier, and the Evil Queen. And we have that here, and I highly recommend it. I'm not someone who usually loves playing games, but I am a huge Disney fan, and I am a huge villain fan. And so this just called out to me, and it's really fun, and it doesn't take a ton of time to learn.
So what are the age group?
10 and up.
Yeah.
2 to 6 players. It's a longer game. It's going to take you probably about an hour or so to play it. And some of the objectives are much more difficult than others. Some of them involve a lot of things. But they're all sort of on equal footing. None of them are easy to accomplish, but some of them are really complicated. And then some you're like, oh, that seems super easy. And then
it's not.
It's not, because your particular hero is really good at thwarting you. So it's a ton of fun. And then also we have some Gibson's merch. So if you are getting a gift certificate for someone who you know loves Gibsons, but you don't know what they've read recently because they're a voracious reader, get them a gift certificate and then throw some Gibsons merch in with the gift certificate. We have new t-shirts. We have fitted t-shirts as well as unisex cut. We have black now, yes, which I'm so excited for because I only wear black t-shirts.
Except for today,
I am wearing a bright green eggnog t-shirt because it's December. We have black, green, red. We have a couple of other colors in the unisex style. So we have t-shirts. We have new vinyl stickers, which were made in Concord that have our logo on them. And we have brand new enamel pins with our logo on them. They are so cute and small and will make such a great stocking stuffer. So please pop in and grab some Gibsons merch to give with the gift cards that we know you are buying for your family members.
Yeah, and we should also say that if you are far away listening to this, which we know we have some far away listeners, but you have local people, you can call us up and we can do a gift card for you over the phone and mail it, or people can come in and pick it up.
Yep.
And I can tell you people love getting gift cards from our store.
Absolutely.
So my little sideline piece is two things. Number one, everybody asks me, what is a very good white elephant Secret Santa gift? And I always tell people, socks.
Yes.
You really can't go wrong with socks. We have the best socks.
I have ones that say, I'm a girl, what's your superpower?
Right. Mine say, F off, I'm reading, which are my favorite. Always get socks. You cannot go wrong. Everybody needs socks. So one of the things that I picked up are these new things we have called Shishibos.
And these are so cool.
They are so neat. So they're these little cubes and they come with different patterns, but they're magnetic. And when you open them up, they're like tesseracts. You can make little different designs with them. You can flip them out. You can make 70 plus designs with one of these. If you get another one, you can connect them to make even new patterns.
I didn't know you could do that.
Because they're all made out of magnets.
If we ever need to build a bridge,
And
they're so cool.
They're like the neatest little things. It's also
beautiful colors.
They're really good fidgets.
They're neat fidgets. They're cool grown-up fidgets. I wouldn't necessarily give this to a kid who needs to be concentrating at school.
Yeah,
but
the sound is distracting. But,
right. They're really neat little fidget things. I just love these things, and I just like want to give them out to everybody for Christmas. So great gifts that
we have
here.
That'd be a really
good
stocking stuffer.
Yes, stocking stuffer, white elephant kind of gifts.
The sideline I love that I will probably buy for myself is the most adorable. They're reproductions of antique cast iron bookends that are different kinds of dogs. So there's a bulldog, there's a Westie, and there is a, I think it's a Jack Russell Terrier. And then in addition to those three, we have quotation marks.
Yes, which I want so bad.
So those are awesome. And also a Mama Bear and Baby Bear set.
They're so cute.
They're beautiful. They will last forever. And so if there's someone you know who needs bookends.
And they're hefty because they're cast iron. Like, these will work for those, like, big, heavy books. Like, they'll work for anything. They're really high quality. They're really nice.
Yeah.
And adorable.
They're so cute. Awesome. Okay. Coming events. Midnight Merriment is this Friday.
My gosh. I'm not ready.
I am so...
Do you have your outfit?
I'm wearing a tuxedo.
Yes! Woo! I'm so excited.
You might not know this, but we at Gibsons dress formally.
We don our formal wear. It is the best night of the year.
Brian's usually dressed as Cinderella.
Yes, I have my ball gown. So Main Street in Concord, it's going to be hopping all night this Friday, December 5th. It starts around 5 p.m. Come on down, get your holiday cheer going. There's usually hot cocoa on the streets and there's carolers, and I hear that Santa sometimes visits us. Gibsons, we do increasing discounts throughout the night. So starting at 6 p.m., everything will be 5% off, and then every hour it increases by 5% until we cap the night from 11 p.m. to midnight, 25% off everything in the store with very few exceptions. Lego can't be discounted, sorry.
And gift cards can't be discounted.
And gift cards can't be discounted. But just about everything in the store will be 25% off. You're not going to get this discount ever, except Midnight Merriment. This is a big deal. So come on down at 11 p.m. and join us
and
in
get
our
those
formal
cute
wear.
Dog bookends?
Yes, mm-hmm. Get your bookends. We're going to put more details on social media, so make sure you're following us there. Our December book club was postponed due to the blizzard that we're currently looking out our windows at. So join us Monday, December 9th to discuss Cold Comfort Farm. We've got Mitch Albom coming to the Capital Center for the Arts on December 16th at 7. Tickets are still available for that, so get those while you can. There's information on our website. And just really quick, of course, we still have our special Libro FM code. You can use laydown at checkout to get 3 audiobooks for the price of 1. But they also are doing a very special deal where you can gift audiobooks to people. You can do this all year long, but especially at the holidays. If you would like to gift audiobooks to someone this holiday season, you can head over to libro.fm/holiday and find out more about that. Basically, you can gift individual audiobooks. So you can be like, I loved this book. You are going to love it. You can send that to someone. Or you can gift Libro FM subscriptions. So you can do 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, or 12 month subscriptions. And if you choose to gift a 3, 6, or 12 month subscription, you will receive a free digital audiobook copy of Circe by Madeline Miller, which was the audiobook of the year.
And it is fantastic.
It is such a good book. So it's good. A number one New York Times bestseller. It's a fantastic book.
We're doing
book.
It in our book club.
Yeah. So definitely if you have that family member who they like to read, but they don't have time to read anymore and they have a long commute, gift them either some audiobooks or a subscription. It's such a great deal. So head on over to libro.fm/holiday for that. Okay, you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we are also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books we talked about today. We'll also include the descriptions of the sidelines that we talked about, though those will not be on our website. You have to come into the store and talk to us. Sorry, introverts.
We're all introverts.
And also, you know, we talked about a lot of gifts today. Please come into the store and talk to us in person because we all have so many more gift ideas. You can give us the most random family member on your list and we will find a gift for them. So please, please come in and chat with us and we'll help you out with your holiday list. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, which, spoiler alert, will be next year. And consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!
Bye.